Now, I wish to welcome all who are here this evening. It's good to see everyone, and we welcome you very heartily in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And especially we want to welcome the group from Romania, and we have a sizable company of people from the Deborah House. These young ladies are here tonight to sing for us, and others as well with them. And we want to welcome everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're glad to have you, young people. You may not understand what I'm saying, but maybe you'll pick up a word or two anyhow and know that you're very welcome, and we're glad to have you. And also like to welcome Reverend Stanley Barnes, whose labours have gone into this work over the years in terms of having these people come from Romania. The links were forged many years ago, and we thank the Lord for all that has been done over the years, and we're glad that our brother is here tonight. The last time the group were here, we were thinking about Pastor Grossa, and now he's gone home to be with the Lord, and we trust indeed that the Lord will bless his wife who's here tonight, and son, and other family members, and continue to give help in these days. And so I'll hand over now to the Reverend Barnes, and he will lead on from this point.
Thank you very much indeed, Reverend Gray, for the kind words of welcome and the opportunity to come and renew fellowship with you here in Ballymena. And it is a real joy to be here and to have the children from Deborah House and the staff, and we'll say a little bit about that later on in the meeting. Now, you know, every time that we've had a group from Romania, I've had to give you a little lesson in Romanian, and so you can greet the children with a particular Romanian greeting. And it's a word, it's a beautiful word, and it's a word that means nearly the equivalent of shalom, peace be unto you. And the believers especially would use this word. And it's the word bache, bache, okay? And I'm going to get the children after one, two, three, they'll say it, and then we're going to have a wee bit of Ballymena Romanian. And I don't know what it's going to sound like. But however, one, two, three.
Bache!
Very good. Now, we're going to try Ballymena now. And I'll do the same, one, two, three. And let's have a real big bache, okay? One, two, three.
Bache!
Bache, bache. Oh, you think we're at the dentist. Oh, that's terrible. You can do a lot better than that. And so we'll get the children to help you, and we'll all say it together and really shout it out. Bache. Okay, not Apache now. Bache. All right. One, two, three.
Bache.
Oh, that's brilliant. There's a man even using his arms and using his hands, and he's got a real grip of the language. Now, we've got a very full program tonight, so we're going to move swiftly through the program, and we're delighted to have our brother Little John. That's not his proper name. He was christened that by Dr. Paisley the first time we ever had him over here in Ulster, and he christened him Little John, and that nickname has stood with him, and we're delighted to have his wife with us as well, and they've been a great blessing to us. And so Little John is going to come and sing two pieces at this stage of the meeting. Okay? Thank you.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and and home, when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. By the path He led us, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches you. De ce scuprins de grijuri, de ce sunt durerat, inima mie mâhnită, iar sufletul întristat. Doar Iisus Salvatorul cu mine-i neîncetat. El pasărea hrănește și de crini e grija Sa. El pasărea hrănește, nici de mine nu va uita. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, because I know it is true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story till it be majs im in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, this pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's one holy word. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Vă voi spune ce Domnul mi-a făcut. Voi câți de El vă temeți, veniți cu glas tăcut. Cu dragoste El Domnul pe cruce s-a jertfit, și pentru mine Domnul a fost și s-a jertfit. Veniți, eu vă voi spune, tâlbi mai zim in glory, tu tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Amen. Thank
you. Thank you, Brother John. That was a real blasting to our hearts, wasn't it? Dr. Paisley used to say that good singing is singing that makes you want to join in. And that's the type of singing that is. Give them a wee hand of applause to encourage them here tonight. Have you speaking in tongues and clapping hands, and you'll be charismatic before the night is out. And a wee woman came to me and she said, "Pastor, what do you think of this cosmetic movement?" And I said, "It doesn't smell too good." But however, that'll not happen here. You get sound teaching from the minister in this church. Now, we're delighted to welcome the girls from Deborah House tonight. They come from various backgrounds, and each one has a story to tell, a very tragic story. And it's a great joy for them to come to Ulster from Timișoara and to be able to enjoy a wonderful holiday over here. And it's our privilege to have them. Our brother, Little John, he trains them, and he does a marvellous job. And they were really excited about coming. And the night before they left, they didn't sleep a wink. They were awake all night. And today, they had to go to the dentist, the whole lot. And this dentist, very kindly, a Christian dentist, said that he would look at their teeth, and any work that he could do, he would do it absolutely free of charge. And but anyway, even going to the dentist, everything turned out all right. He said, "Your teeth are all right, but your gums have to come out. That's a bit sore." But anyway, you have to think about that. Come on ahead, Deborah House, please. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed to the children and the young people at Deborah House. Let's give them a wee hand, please. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to do something now that we've never done on previous trips, and that is that we're going to have three very brief testimonies, and they will be brief. But the first one will be by one of the workers, does a great job, counselling, helping, and enabling these young people to face the problems that they have to face in their own particular situation. And she's going to say a few words, and then two of the girls are going to come and give a brief word of testimony. Thank you.
Pace.
Pace.
I think you could do a lot better. Let's try again. Pace.
Pace.
You will hear this greeting very often when you are in Romania, and it's difficult not to learn it. What is funny about it is we had some a visitor one time, and every time people would greet him at the door, he would say his name, and then he wondered, is everyone's name Pace? And then he realized it's actually a greeting. My name is Larissa, and I have been working with the Deborah House Girls for 5 years now. I must say I feel so very honored to be speaking about the Deborah House in front of a small crowd, a big crowd, or even just one person that is interested in this work. And I could speak for hours about this work, about the amazing things that the Deborah House does for a group of girls that are strong and that are so courageous and that have survived so many things that many of us did not go through and would never go through. We had an amazing time being here so far, and we were happy to be here, where the weather is cooler than back home. But I can say also on behalf of them that the warmth that we feel here, it's the best thing in the world. Many people have showed us so much love. If someone, a friend that you're helping with, would one day come and ask you, okay, so why are you doing this for me? Why are you helping me? I wonder what your answer would be. I was a while ago asked by one of the girls that had recently came at the Deborah House the very same question. And I was a bit surprised by the question. I did not expect it, as it was never asked by any of the girls before. So I had to stop and think of a brief answer, because she was in front of me waiting and being confused. Daily, five girls under just 15 of age become victims of abuse. And this happens in Romania in a system that does not offer any real solution to this issue. 93% of the abuse cases happen, unfortunately, in the families and by the ones that should have protected them. 53% of the abuse cases are girls. As you can imagine, this creates a wound so deep in the life of a child that can turn their lives into a living nightmare. What Deborah House does is it offers a home, a safe place, a family, to the ones that have never felt they belong anywhere, and to the ones that had their childhood stolen away from them in such a cruel way. Deborah House offers a unique sanctuary that is so critically needed in Romania for underage girls who are victims of severe abuse, including human trafficking. And Deborah House is a place where our wish is that their pain would fade away and would turn into hope. But Deborah House would just be a house and a center, as so many others back home, if there was not for the most important thing, and that is God's presence. What makes Deborah House a home, a safe place, and a family is the love that the girls are shown every day through our actions, through our words, and especially through our prayers. And this love that they receive is a love that sometimes they cannot understand. So many times they cannot accept because it was never shown to them truly in a sincere way. This is what the staff at the Deborah House, some present here, some at home praying for us on this trip, strive to show daily, a love that can not come from ourselves, but can only come from God, our Savior, so that these girls would get to know Christ as their own Savior and as the one that is the greatest love of all and the one that is able to heal their broken heart, to restore, and to bring healing. Maybe God is calling you today to show the same love. You can show the same love through your prayers for the girls and for the staff. Or you can show this love by, why not, joining a mission trip team. And you are able this way to show this kind of love in a very practical way. And I can see here with us tonight some of the young ladies that have recently been to Romania and were able to show the same love. And we have Jerusha, Rachel, Lauren, and Shannon. And I think this trip to Romania was very special to them. And what I have seen and what I have felt during the week they were there is that they had such a big impact on the girls. And they were able to show God's love in a practical way. Of course, my answer to the question I was asked by a girl that believed she had to do something in exchange for being at a Deborah House did not include any statistics, any numbers, but it was a plain and simple answer. An answer I am sure any of you here tonight would have given. I am doing this for you because I want to give back the same love that my Savior showed me, without asking me anything in return, but for me to just open my heart and fully accept it. Thank you.
Hello. In the next moments, I want to share with you my testimony. My name is Mirela, and I come from a family who doesn't believe in Jesus. My parents are alcoholics, and because of that, I couldn't have a beautiful childhood. I started to work at 11 years old, and all the money I made went to my mother for alcohol and cigarettes. I also have a sister, and she is 5 years younger than me. My sister and I grew up in a very dysfunctional environment with a lot of violence and arguments. We moved many times, and we always lived in rental houses. One of my neighbors told me about Jesus and taught me to read the Bible. My neighbor died shortly after that, but years later, her daughter invited me to church. I was 13 years old when I went to church for the first time. My parents didn't know that I had started to go to church, and when they found out, they were not happy with me. In 2010, at the age of 15, me and my sister arrived at Deborah House. Here, we found love, peace, and joy, and we slowly understood what really family means. At the age of 16, I accepted the Lord as my Savior and got baptized. When I finished high school, I didn't know what I'll do next, but Miss Lorena encouraged me to study general medicine. And this October will be my last year in medical school. Without God's love and without the support from Deborah House, I couldn't be what I am today. God is good, and His love is the higher from, is higher than the words can describe. Thank you and God bless you.
Pace. Numele meu este Cerasela și am 15 ani.
My name is Cerasela and I am 15.
Vreau să vă spun pe scurt povestea mea la casa de Bora.
And I want to shortly share with you my testimony at Deborah House.
Prima dată când am auzit de casa Deborah a fost acum 2 ani, în 2016.
The first time I heard about the Deborah House was 2 years ago, in 2016.
Pe când eram încă la centru de primire regim de urgență Timișoara.
While I was at a child protection emergency center.
Una dintre doamne îngrijitoare de acolo mi-a zis că voi merge la casa Deborah.
One of the carers there told me I was to go at Deborah House.
Îmi amintesc și acum că aveam foarte multe emoții.
And I remember being very nervous about this.
Pentru mine casa Deborah a fost și este locul unde mă simt.
For me, Deborah House is the place, was and is the place where I feel
protejată de multe lucruri rele și nedrepte.
Protected but by so many unfair and cruel things.
Este speranța mea, familia mea care mă iubește și are grijă de mine.
It's my hope, my family and the family that loves me and takes care of me.
Mă simt atât de binecuvântată să fiu aici.
I feel so blessed to be here.
Și le mulțumesc părinților sociali.
And I want to thank the house parents.
Pentru că mi-arată dragostea, pentru că mă ajută să cresc.
For helping me grow.
Și mă sprijină.
And for supporting me.
Pentru că mi-arată atâta dragoste.
For showing me so much love.
Mulțumesc și echipelor care m-au învățat că Dumnezeu.
I am so thankful to the teams that have showed me.
Este aproape.
That God is near to me.
Că mă iubește.
And that He loves me.
Și umplându-mă de iubirea Lui.
And by being filled with His love.
Inima mea se deschide celorlalți.
My heart can be open to others.
Simt că am crescut și m-am schimbat în bine.
I feel I have grown and I have changed for the good.
Visul meu este să termin școala cu bine.
My dream is to graduate school.
Și să fac facultate.
And to go to university.
Să devin psiholog sau asistent social.
And to become a psychologist or a social worker.
Să ajut alți copii așa cum am fost ajutată și eu.
To help other children as I have been helped.
Aveam nevoie de cineva care să fie acolo pentru mine.
I needed someone to be there for me.
Și asta am găsit la casa Deborah.
And this is what I have found at Deborah House.
Mulțumesc, fiți binecuvântați.
Thank you and God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Barnes. Pace.
Pace.
Greetings from your brothers and sisters in Timișoara, from our colleagues and Lorena and Daniel, who regret they had to cancel their visit due to the reason that not depend of them. This is the fourth time when the three churches from the Northern Ireland host the girls from Deborah House, and for me is the third time joining this kind of trip. Each time we came here joyful, but this time our feelings are mixed. Joy, gratefulness and sadness. Joy, because we are happy to be here again in the beautiful Ulster to see old friends and to make new ones. We are grateful for your invitation and for your hospitality. However, we are sad because for the first time in almost 30 years, our brother Eugene Groza is not here to lead our group. We miss him very, very much. And I think that we are not only one who does. We are sad because we know there will never be a next time for our brother Eugene Groza to come here in Ulster and visit his dear friend he loves so much. But our strong faith is that we will see him again, and when this will happen, the joy will be complete. We are here today because Dr. Stanley Barnes extended towards us the beautiful love and friendship he and Brother Eugene Groza had. How many of us can say that have a 30 years old friendship with someone? Many of our group not ever born 30 years ago. And for my colleagues and I, the beautiful relationship between Mr. Barnes and Brother Eugen Groza is a precious legacy, and the fact that the friendship between them excited the boundaries of two countries and connected wonderful people like you with us. It's such blessing and encouragement for us. I would like to thank you, Mihaela Groza, and Sorina, and Danny, and little Caleb, for choosing to spend the holiday with our girls and us. Also, thank you, Mr. Barnes, thank you, Mrs. Barnes, thank you, Heather, thank you, Sharon, for adopting us and for caring and sacrificing so much for us. And thank you all, the Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church, for being part of the wonderful legacy our leader built over time. I pray that God bless you, bless your family, bless your church, and bless your country. Thank you very much. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed, Brother Yunus. And we thank God for you and the work that you do at Deborah House. And now the children are going to come and sing for us again, and the young people. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Greer, once again for the kind words of welcome. It is a joy for us to be here this evening. And really, the remainder of the program is this, that our brother, Little John, after I say a few words, will come and he will sing The Holy City. And it's a lovely piece and has a beautiful voice, and he can reach notes like Mount Everest. He can really get up on these notes. And believe it or not, my wife said to him, Little John, could you not teach Stanley to sing? Well, the Archangel Michael couldn't do that. And he said, yes, I will help. And he started off with something very simple. It was The Holy City. And if you heard us singing The Holy City, John was perfect, but you thought the cat was going through the mangle or had been thrown into the washing machine. It was absolutely terrible. And so we look forward to John coming later on, very briefly, after I speak, and he will sing The Holy City. But it's always good to center our thoughts, even on an occasion as this, just upon something from the Word of God. And I invite you to open your Bible in Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 10. And writing to the church at Philippi, Paul wrote, But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both hard to be abased, and I know hard to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then the reading of verse 19, and we know God will bless the reading of his word. Now, as you read into the story of Paul's letter to the Philippians, you'll discover that it was a church that was founded by the Apostle Paul. He received the Macedonian vision, come over and help us, and along with Luke and the other members of that little apostolic band, they set sail for Macedonia, and eventually they came to Philippi. And in a wonderful way, in a marvelous way, God began to work in salvation. There was a business lady by the name of Lydia, a seller of purple, and Lydia experienced heart surgery when the Lord opened her heart and she got wonderfully saved. And then secondly, there was the story of the demon-possessed girl. And this girl was a fortune teller and she brought great profit to her masters. And Paul came and in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he commanded the demon, the evil spirit, to depart from her. And this girl was wonderful, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Then we have that third great conversion and the story of the Philippian jailer. And you remember how Paul and Silas had been thrown into jail. They were beaten with many stripes. And we read how that at midnight, the darkest hour, God gave them a song in the night. And Paul and Silas sang praises unto God. And then suddenly, out of the blue, there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and so was the Philippian jailer. And of course, he thought the prisoners had escaped. And Paul and Silas said, "Sir, do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And as a result of that momentous experience, the Philippian jailer came to know the Lord, and he and all his house were baptized and came to know household salvation. Now, there had been a wonderful pastoral relationship born between Paul and the congregation at Philippi. He ministered to them. He was their father in Christ, and he nurtured them in the faith and in the fundamentals of the Word of God. But Paul had always itchy feet. He was always wanting to move to the regions beyond that he might win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the time came when they had to say goodbye, and Paul moved on his missionary endeavors. And the sad thing is this, that the churches that Paul founded in that particular area, when he moved out of the vicinity, they forgot all about him, and no one got in contact with him concerning giving or supporting him in the work of God. And so the only exception was the church at Philippi. And they sent an elder on several occasions by the name of Epaphroditus, either an elder or a deacon. And he came with love gifts on several occasions to Paul and sought to give him the gift and encourage him in the work of the Lord. Now, Paul had a shepherd's heart for the church at Philippi. And I can picture Paul as he sits down with Philippa or with Epaphroditus, thanks him for the gift, and then he asks, "How's things going in the church at Philippi?" And Epaphroditus has to be honest. He has to tell concerning the difficulties and the problems and the issues that existed at the church in Philippi. And so Paul writes to them and he gives them this wonderful promise, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And he's doing two things here. He's assuring them, because you've been so faithful and generous in your giving, God is no man's debtor, and God will supply your need. I remember a wee woman, and someone said to her, "How is it that you're a widower and you gave so much to the Lord's work?" "Well," she says, "it's just like this." She says, "I shovel into God's bin, and God shovels back into my bin, and God has the bigger shovel." And that's absolutely true. And if you give to the Lord will return 100-fold. And I say this, that not everybody, not every Christian can genuinely claim this promise. If you're not a giver, then you can't lay hold of this promise. And so as he listens to Epaphroditus, hears about the problems and the difficulties and the troubles the church that Philippi was facing, he says to them, "Now, my God shall supply all your need." And I'm thinking he's not just talking about material need, but he's talking about spiritual needs of the church. And those are paramount in every congregation. And let me just mention, and I'm only going to give you the outline and then you can meditate it upon yourself. But you know, the first need they needed had was the need of happiness. They needed joy. They needed happiness. And it's interesting to notice that in one way or another, in these four chapters, there's 19 different references to rejoice, to joy, and rejoicing. And so there's tremendous emphasis throughout about the spirit of joy. You see, the fly in the ointment was this, that something happened, and these believers, the joy of the Lord was no longer their strength. And tell you this, that a joyless Christian is a useless Christian. It's a useless Christian. And we need to capture something of that joy of the Lord. Isn't it remarkable when Paul writes to them? He says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. And he gives them a double exhortation and one verse to rejoice in the Lord. My, you remember the story of Billy Bray, the glory man? He had a joy unspeakable and full of glory in his soul. They said, if they put me in a barrel, I would find a bunghole and I would shout glory, hallelujah, out of it. He was so full of the joy of the Lord. And it was said when he walked down the street, when one foot went up, it seemed to say hallelujah, and the other foot went down, it seemed to say amen. He was known as the glory, hallelujah, man of Cornwall. Do you know why? He was rejoicing in God's wonderful salvation. Do you need to pray tonight? Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of thy salvation. But then notice quickly they not only needed happiness, but as I look into God's word here, I discover also that they needed humility. They needed humility. If you take time to read chapter 2, Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the mind of Christ was a mind of humility. Paul said that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And our Lord's life, from the moment he became a cell in a human body in the womb of the Virgin, was a life of humility from his birth to his death, where he died upon the cross. There was a need for humility. And you know, beloved, don't we need humility in God's work? What a difference it would make if there was only humility. I know Christians, and they go to church and their attitude is, who's going to be the first to offend me today? It's hard to believe, but so many Christians are so easily offended and would cause a row as quick as a flash in a church. I remember one time in the old hut in Hillsborough, and we were having a Saturday night meeting, a conference. Dr. Bob Jones was there from Bob Jones University. Our moderator was there, Dr. Paisley. And the ladies among themselves decided, we had only old cinema seats and you could hardly move in the place, and they said, we'll just give out cups and everybody will get a cup and we'll pass the sandwiches and the pastries. And then they said, we'll do something special for Dr. Paisley and Dr. Bob Jones. And they got one of those wee trolleys. You know these wee trolleys you have, ladies? Got one of them. And I tell you, nothing cheap about Hillsborough. English rose. And they had English rose and saucer and a plate and had it all nicely set out. And after the supper was served, an elder rushed up the middle of the aisle and he shouted at one of the women, who gave you permission to give them a plate and a saucer? Who gave you permission? No ignoramus, if ever there was one. And elders and committee men, remember this, Jesus was the perfect gentleman, and manners cost you nothing in Christian work. I went to the lady afterwards when I heard about it, and I said, I'll deal with this brother. He was out of order, and I'll deal with it. And she looked at me, and I'll never forget it, said, Mr. Barnes, don't start a row in the church on my account. I'll get over it, but it's important to keep the unity and the harmony of the church. Don't start any row on my account. That's humility. That's the mind of Christ. When you're reviled, you revile not, and you go the Calvary road. But then notice quickly, my time's gone, but notice they needed not only happiness, they needed not only humility, but they needed help. Do you ever look at that wee verse there in verse 5? Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Now, that phrase, the Lord is at hand, is not really speaking about the second coming of Christ. The old Quaker translation puts it, the Lord is at thine elbow. He's right beside you. And I believe that's the real truth of that statement. And there was people and they were facing difficulties, going through problems. And Paul says to these dear brothers and sisters, remember the Lord is at your elbow. He's right beside you. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's the great assurance that every believer has in life. No matter how dark, how deep the valley is, you can say, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, I think of a brother taken into hospital, he had cancer, he was on his deathbed. And the pastor came into the ward, and he saw the pastor, and he shouted out, hallelujah, pastor, good to see you. Do you know what this old cancer is? He says, what? He says, it's God's Rolls Royce to take me to heaven. I tell you, when you need someone to help you, the Lord Jesus Christ can be right beside you and help you through. And maybe there's someone in the meeting tonight, I don't know you, but the Lord knows you, and you're facing problems. You can say with David, the Lord is my helper. They needed help, and thank God help was at hand in the person of the Savior. Then notice quickly, they needed holiness. They needed holiness. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. They needed holiness. You know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. Now, there's Christians, and this is the way they read this verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are untrue, whatsoever things are dishonest, whatsoever things are unjust, whatsoever things are impure, whatsoever things are unlovely, whatsoever things are a bad report, think on these things. Do you ever meet Christians like this? You know, in our church in Hillsborough, it wasn't far from a place called Drumlick, and it was a city dump, and there was a family, big family of youngsters, and must have been 8 or 10 of them. And they lived literally on the dump. They were never away from it. And if you went up in your car, they would come over and say, Mister, can I help you? And then they helped themselves to whatever they wanted. And if you went to their house, it was like a tip. Was one of the roughest places around that area. You know, the sad thing is, there's people and they're Christians and they live on a rubbish dump and they're not happy unless they hear the latest gossip. Do you remember Pilgrim's Progress? There was a man called Muckrake. He was always raking in the muck and he never looked up. Tell me this, are you a muckraker in the church? Always spreading gossip, backbiting, telling stories. Never check them out to find out if they're true. So many Christians like that. Just in passing, see that family I'm telling you about? They moved and they came up to another place near us in Hillsborough. And I went round to the house. And the old granny came out. They were nearly hanging out of the windows. It was one of the roughest places you could ever be. And I went up to the old granny and I said to her, I'm the Reverend Barnes. I'm the minister of Hillsborough Church, Free Presbyterian Church. And I've come to welcome you to the area. Maybe nobody else welcomed them, but I welcomed them. And I said, if I can ever help you as a minister, here's my card. And if your children don't go to any Sunday school, we would love to have them in Hillsborough. And they were the dirtiest, smelliest children. I say that in love, but that was a fact. And she said, what time does your Sunday school start? This was just at the holiday time. I said, it begins on the first week of September. She says, you get the bus to call for them and I'll have them ready. And for the next 10 years, brother, we had all those wee kids and they came to the Sunday school. And it did my heart good. They were rough, but you know, that souls that needed to be saved. I remember one of her lassies, she was nursing one of these children, and she felt a warm sensation. We'll say no more. We won wet on our lip, our lap, and somebody said to her about it, she says, it'll wash. Oh, give us workers like that. Are we too respectable today? Do we reach out to the working classes? Do we reach out to the poor and the needy? Do we have a burden for the whosoever will? Remember this, the Lord is no respecter of persons. Now just one we thought and I'm closed. They needed hope. They needed hope. Well, here's a wonderful truth here. Look at Philippians 3 and verse 20. And Paul says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. See that little term there, phrase, vile body. Literally in the Greek, it means body of humiliation. And the moment Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, their bodies became bodies of humiliation, and the sin and the seeds of death and disease and all the ailments that we face in this world are the result of original sin in the Garden of Eden. And these bodies are foul bodies, and listen, sooner or later, your body will become a foul body, a body of humiliation. And I've seen that in pastoral work over the years. I went into a nursing home one time, lovely Christian lady, and she'd been taken in. And I got there, and you want to see the dump of a place she was in. It was like a workhouse, like a poor house. And she was sobbing. Her hair hadn't been combed. Her clothes were untidy. And she said to me, son, I never thought I would end up in a place like this. I said, are you not happy? She says, no. She says, this is an awful place. I said, or would you like to get out of it? She says, oh, didn't have to ask her twice. She says, I would. I said, oh, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll take you home with me, and you can come and stay with us till we get something sorted out and get you into a proper, decent home. Well, down to the desk, and I said to the lady concerning at the desk, concerning this lady, I'm taking her home with me. She says, you can't do that, second or not. You fill in the paperwork, and I'll get her home. And I got her wrapped up, and I took her out and brought her home, David. Or, where did I get David from? What? Well, he's a man after God's own heart anyway, isn't he? Amen. And I brought her home. Jim Hayburn had opened a nursing home, got her in there, and some of us paid out of her own pocket to make up what it cost for her to stay there till she died. And you know what I'm saying is this. See that old body of humiliation? One day it's going to be changed, and we're going to have a body like his glorious body. We shall not only see him, but we, hallelujah, shall be like him. And what a day, glory to God, that'll be when we see Jesus, when the saints go marching in. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I'm nearer heaven than ever before. And I'm looking forward to a glorified body. For those he justified, them he also glorified. May the Lord just bless us, we word. to all of our hearts. Now, New Jerusalem, come and sing for us, please. Sing for your supper. Amen. Good. On ahead, brother.
Last night I lay asleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. I saw the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and see. Dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As a shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing. I saw the holy city beside the tidal sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates are open wide, and all who would my enter and know I was denied. Sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem. They do not pass.
That was from the heart of it. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much, John. God bless you.
Well, this has been a good night and a good meeting and great singing and praise to the Lord. And we thank again all who have contributed and taken part, and especially now in the closing moments here, our dear brother Little John. Whenever he arrived and announced he wanted to sing the New Jerusalem, Marbeth was put on the spot, so I want to thank her for standing in and playing for this tonight. So thank Reverend Barnes for his word, a good word from the Lord, and we trust the Lord will use it to encourage us all, and may God work in these days in our hearts. We're just going to bow in prayer and commit our time to the Lord, and remember the literature that our brother mentioned, the DVD, the CD, all these items are out there on the table. And then remember the offering as you leave. So let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks tonight for the God whom we serve, the one before whom we now bow, this God who shall supply all the need of his people through his own riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless this word to us and bless all the items of praise that we have heard to the hearts and souls of thy dear children. We thank thee for all who have taken part. We thank thee for the testimonies and for the report from our sister concerning her work in Deborah House. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless her brother as well, who brought his report. And we ask, Lord, that thou wilt keep thy hand upon that ministry, and may it prosper, may it flourish. May there be times of refreshing. May many young ladies be rescued and delivered from all the adversity of a sinful world. And may they be brought to know the Saviour. We thank thee tonight for the Christ of God, the one who saves to the very uttermost all those who come unto God by him. And Lord, we pray that whether here in Northern Ireland or in Romania or any other place in this world, there will be movings of the Spirit of God, and many will be gathered into thy kingdom, and a great and a marvellous work done. So hear us now. Remember the ministry here. Remember all have been mentioned tonight for prayer. O Lord, we commit all into thy hands. Pray that thou wilt bless us and be with us as we come to a close and we make our way home. Remember the group from Romania as they have their refreshments. Take our thanks for the provision made for them. And bless us all, we pray, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of the Lord's people, both this night and forevermore, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.